Welcome to RV Talk Radio. Here we talk about RV living, RV lifestyles, and RV travel. We also celebrate the RV lifestyle that gives us the chance to do outdoor activities that we couldn't do in a normal lifestyle. So thanks for joining us. Grab yourself a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, and let's talk about RVs. Hello, everyone, and welcome to RV Talk Radio. It's nice to have you. This is episode 97, and I got a few things to talk about. I want to talk about kids a little. I want to talk about conquering grandkids and a tour that I went on that was quite fascinating. So let's get started. Well, I survived it. Yep. So last week I was telling you my greatest fear was happening. Is I knew that eventually what's going to happen is my daughter, you know, we live by our daughter now, which has three kids, and two of them are teenagers now, but one of them's five. And, you know, we got the ultimate phone call, Mom, Dad, it's our anniversary, and we want to see if you'd watch your grandson. It's like, oh my God. And so it's kind of like, oh yeah, we're kind of excited, and oh yeah, we haven't had kids around for a long time. And so all of our kids are in their 30s now. And no, we're not old farts yet, but we're kind of close. But anyway, we're in our mid-50s, okay? Anyway, so Sherry's probably more excited about it than I am because I don't know what it is. As a grandpa, you want to entertain your kid, but at the same time you want to coach them and train them and make them great citizens and all that stuff. So you get kind of torn. So he's like, first thing is like, all right, we got to get the mindset right. We want them to have a good time at grandma and grandpa's, but at the same time, I don't want them swinging from the chandeliers. That would be a no-no. So anyway, not that he would, but so I think the mindset was probably worse than the occurrence of having him over for the weekend. So, I think the biggest thing we noticed was, we were thinking, oh, you know, get over here. Grandma and grandpa don't have like electronic games and things like that. But we ended up watching a show all day long called PJ Mask. And if you have grandkids, you probably know what this is. And it's on, I believe, Netflix. And it was on all day, all evening, and the next morning. And I can tell you right now, I'll never watch another PJ Mask again until he gets here again. Oh my gosh. It's just, I don't understand why Looney Tunes is not back on, because they were much more entertaining as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, so that was the first torture, but I mean, it was worse things, I guess. Fox News or PJ Mask, I guess PJ Mask is much more entertaining. But yeah, so we had that on the whole time. And the other anticipation, I thought, well, you won't like the food we eat because Sherry and I are vegetarians. And that was wrong too. He did just fine with that. And so I'm thinking, here we go. We got the great big bedroom all set up for him. He'll be terrified. And he was fine. He got kind of pooped out around 9:30, 10 o'clock. Sherry took him into the bedroom, and he just passed out. And so then, of course, Sherry and I can't sleep very well because we're thinking, you know, he's going to be in a strange bedroom and he's going to be maybe freak out and all that stuff. So we're kind of sleeping lightly, afraid that we won't hear him or something. So we don't sleep with a hoot. And it turns out he was just fine. In fact, after our terrible night sleep, which he was fine, we were up like 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and he slept till almost 10. So he was just fine. And I think the biggest thing is he doesn't have any pets at home. So he loved the cat and he was constantly trying to figure out where the cat was hiding. And I think the cat was playing tag with him. I'm pretty sure of it. So that was quite good to keep him entertained, other than keeping him out of rooms he shouldn't be in. But the dog, Cinder, I think Cinder thought he was just one big piece of candy, because all she wanted to do all the time was lick the dog, the kid, to death. So he was like, "Cinder, stop, stop, stop." And Cinder's like, "You taste so good." Anyway, so he wasn't that pleased with the dog, other than being able to throw the ball in the pool and let her go swimming. She thought, he thinks that's pretty cool. But other than that, the dog didn't impress him, but the cat did. So the moral of the story is probably, mindset-wise, mom and grandma and grandpa probably overthought everything. The simplest of things was fun to do. We actually just went out in the front yard and washed Sherry's car, and he had a blast helping out with that. And we had to get some soap or stuff we keep in the boat, so he thought it was really cool he could climb up in the boat, even though it's just sitting on the side of the house. Anyway, I don't know. It was actually not a bad weekend, but I think by the time the weekend was over, he got picked up Sunday about just a little bit of afternoon. Sherry and I both were kind of like, boy, it was, I don't know how to describe it. It felt like we were stuck at home, even though we probably would have stayed home. But when you know you can't really leave and do things the way you normally do, you feel like, you're trapped. And it's kind of like if you're a working couple, and you only have one car, the person who's doesn't have the other car feels like they're stranded, even though they may not even want to leave that day. But just the fact that you know you don't have your own car, that's why Sherry and I could never share one car. And which, you know, is the feeling you get sometimes when you're an RVer. Sometimes you can only bring one vehicle, which is normal. If one's working or doing something like that, the other person doesn't have transportation anymore. So that's a mindset thing too. But anyway, overall, we conquered our greatest fear. We made it through the weekend for the first time with our grandchild, and he had a great time. And grandma and grandpa will probably have a better time next time, now that we know how it's going to go. So moral of the story is, I don't know what there is for a moral, but we survived it. It was fine. So let's move on. Well, over the weekend, I also got an invitation to a tour of a company that might surprise you a little bit. And I think this is RV related, because I meet so many people that do it too. And that's vaporing, which is an alternative to cigarettes. And the reason I'm so pro on that is, some of you know that I quit smoking 5 years ago. I used Chantix, but the problem is, and a lot of you would know this if you've been a smoker for a while, is you miss the habit. And sometimes you miss that break time. So my other solution to quit smoking was I learned about vaporing. And I know it's still a form of smoking in a way, but it's a lot less severe on your lungs and all that stuff. So, and then when it comes to nicotine, you can actually reduce it to such a low level, or just eliminate it totally, that you're not dependent on it anymore. So I'm not going to get into the science of all of it and stuff, but, when I was a smoker, I smoked menthol cigarettes. And so I tend to like something that's minty or spearmint kind of taste to it. So it took me a while to, I almost ended up smoking again, because I wanted that break time. So that, for those of you who may smoke or vapor now, you know there's all kinds of stuff. Well, I started out with a thing called Blue, which looks like a cigarette. They're black. But it just didn't fulfill that need of the habit part. And so it took me a while before I kind of discovered the battery and tank thing. And then you find out there's like tons of flavors out there. And none of those really did much for me because I was a menthol smoker until I came across the menthol, kind of what they call juice. And I finally came across one I really, really liked up in Washington called Extreme Ice, which has a real minty kind of taste to it and a coldness to it. And if you're a smoker or a vapor, you kind of understand what I'm talking about. And then having the right equipment helps a lot too. Once you get that combination set, you can be quite content. And let me tell you one thing, it's like an instant a raise in income, because you know cigarettes can get between if you live in Hawaii, here it is, get as high as $13 a pack. And so you're automatically going to save about $300 a month right off the bat. And you don't notice it right away until you realize that, boy, you have $40 in your wallet, and a couple of days later, you still have $40 in your wallet. Amazing. You're not swinging by the store to buy cigarettes. So anyway, this Mount Baker Vapor was the only one that had this flavor I liked. So you could order it online back then. It's like 5 years ago. And so pretty much that's where I got my, what they call Extreme Ice from. And so as we traveled and stuff like that, when I needed, you know, I'd buy enough for quite a long time, and I'd have it sent to wherever we could have it sent to when I needed it. And eventually, you guys know the old story, you know, we traveled for quite a long time, and then we ended up in Arizona, and we bought a house here. And I've been ordering my Extreme Ice, and I started seeing on my receipts that they are in the same city that I am now, which is Mesa, Arizona. And it's like, whoa, when did that happen? I didn't really notice it. So now when I want to get some of this juice, what they call Extreme Ice, I actually, you know, got the address, went to the little store and started buying it there. And you start getting to know the people there. And of course, you know, I tell them that we have the podcast and stuff. And as time went on, long story short, they get to know me pretty well. And I got a personal invitation to go on on a tour of their company. And this would be the first time they've ever done anything like that. And it would be like they actually invited like 6 people. And I wasn't going to pass that up. I was kind of fascinated about how all this stuff worked. So I definitely wanted to go, which happened to be the same weekend that we're watching a grandkid. But Sherry said, no problem. I know you'd like to go. Go check it out. So I did. And this is what I found out. First of all, you get kind of the mindset, you're thinking, you know, a bunch of, you know, young adults sitting in the back room mixing chemicals together and doing it. And that's so, so wrong. So that's not the case at all. It's actually what was really amazing about this Mount Baker Vapor place is, first of all, they have over 100 employees. And then, of course, the little store in the front, and it's a pretty professional looking building. I'm thinking it's a pretty small operation, and it turns out they actually leased the entire building. It's like a big building. So first thing is we went in there and we got to try out some of their new products. And of course, they're into marketing and advertising, so they're trying to capture people, especially like me in my age, where we're kind of like been smoking forever, and you know, to comprehend that vaporing might be an alternative to try to quit smoking. We're the target of trying to, of what they're trying to advertise and market to. So why not give a tour and work with somebody that's in that age bracket? Me. And there's younger folks there too. And their vaporing was actually, all of them I met all had the same reason for vaporing. They wanted to quit smoking. And but they, between smoking or what they call making a big cloud, I know it sounds funny, but a smoker tends to suck on a cigarette, hold it in their mouth, and then inhale. And then a cloud kind of person will inhale it straight to the lungs and then blow it, and they want this big cloud thing. It's a sensation thing. So I know it sounds funny, but if you're a smoker, you'd understand what I'm talking about. So it was really good that they had such a diverse people there, because I tend to use it like a cigarette, and the other ones use it like a big huff type thing. And so it was interesting to talk to them and see, like, equipment and flavors and stuff were a lot more important to someone like that, as opposed to someone like me, where you want a device that worked more easier like a cigarette. And so that was the first kind of fascination. And once again, I know so many RVers either smoke or they vapor. I find this subject to be quite appropriate for RV Talk Radio. So I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this company. And after talking to them, they're actually going to set up an affiliate program with us where we might be able to save you guys some money to get your products. And believe me, once I tell you about this company, you'll want to do business with them, because they were amazing. Now, understand, when you're dealing with nicotine, before e-cigarettes came out, it was kind of like under the table, kind of shoot from the hip kind of thing, and everything came from China. And a lot of stuff still comes from China because the parts are cheaper to build over there. But the FDA was concerned about the nicotine, and because it considered a hazardous waste kind of thing or a chemical. And so they wanted to regulate it. So apparently, I don't know all the laws and stuff, but around 2009, 10, 11, things changed and it was acceptable. And you notice vapor shops or e-cigarette shops have popped up everywhere. And so FDA says, okay, if you're going to sell this stuff, you have to meet our regulations. So nicotine's considered a hazard or a chemical, so it's got to be locked up. And when it's worked with, it's got to be kept in a clean room situation. When it's being disposed of, it's got to be treated like hazardous waste, just like a medical place needs to treat needles and drugs and blood and things like that as hazardous waste. So quite the regulations on how to deal with that chemical. And then at the same time, to deal with that chemical and to make these products and these bottles and stuff, you have to run a very sanitary situation where in their bottling room, it was literally a clean room where you come in and you're covered in a white outfit and your shoes and your face and your hair nets, the whole works, a face mask for extreme clean situation. And that's exactly what they had. And it was truly amazing, very expensive equipment and very detailed scenario, because, you know, they have to meet the regulations of the FDA. And so, I mean, amazingly, you know, my head's just going, whoa, just exploding, because, like, you have this picture in your head of, like, you know, a couple young adults sitting in the back room mixing a bunch of chemicals and then putting a label on it. Not so. This was quite a professional situation. When we're talking about 100 employees, it's just like an aerospace company, well laid out, inventory control systems, very controlled scenarios, marketing, customer service, all of the above. And that was really cool, because then they took us into the warehouse where you got all these different chemicals and different flavors, and then a mixing area, and everything's done precisely and measured precisely and tested precisely and bottled precisely and meeting the requirements of the FDA. It was amazing. And in total, inventory control systems, testing equipment, it was just amazing. And incredibly friendly people. And they were so... This was their very first tour, and I'm hoping that way it was a great situation, we get to try some flavors that they were doing, some different kinds of devices that they're coming up with, and wanted to have us try them. And it was great. And then we filled out a questionnaire of what we thought of what we tested and put it in writing. Great scenario for everybody. And I was so grateful I got to go on a tour, and I'm so grateful I was invited. And so what I'll do as soon as I can is I will put a link to their site, but in the future shows, I'm going to see if I can't, and they want to, give all of our listeners a discount or some kind of a program where they can order through us and save some money. And so, and I would not push these guys if I wasn't sold that these guys were not only legit, but very customer friendly, very, very professional, very, very safe. It was amazing. And I can't thank Mount Baker Vapor enough for their hospitality. And if you're a vapor or thinking you want to quit smoking, they're the company to go to. Some of these other ones, I kind of like, they're makeshift and stuff. And not only does Mount Baker Vapor have to do everything professional, their vendors do too, and they don't. That's a problem. And so they run a tight ship, a very tight ship. And all I can say is if you're looking for quality, you're looking for consistency, and you're looking for professional, clean, meeting the regulations and doing things right, then Mount Baker Vapor is definitely the company you should deal with for vaping or e-cigarette needs. Great, great company. So yeah, let's move on. Well, I want to bring up a subject only because it's worth talking about. And what I want to get is, you know, comments and ideas from folks. I'm not looking for being nasty to each other, but I am going to bring up a sensitive subject. And that subject is RVers and having and raising kids in the RV environment. And I'm going to spill that over to even like the boating or the sailing cruisers, you know, that go around the world with children and stuff. And what I wanted here is the pros and cons of what you think, or if you're actually somebody out there that have kids out there, the pros and cons or concerns you might have about that. But it still sets funny. And it could be an old school to new school thing. And you know, our last show, I think two shows ago, we talked about homeschooling. And of course, we, you know, the first thing you get concerned about is the parents following through. They say, well, I'm homeschooling my kid. Well, some take that very serious, where others just like, just go watch the videos on the network and then, answer the questions and take credit. And are the kids really getting a good education? That's one thing right there. And so we kind of talked about that already, but you know, there's a couple of channels out there that have either, you know, kids with them, or there's even one out there that's expecting a child. And it's like, really, is the RV environment really going to be a great place for a newborn? Really? I mean, I know I was, Sherry and I were traveling with the fifth wheel. We were on our way up to Fallon, Nevada, just spending the night. And there was a kind of an older Class C with a couple in it and a baby, and the baby was having a rough night, and so crying a lot and all that stuff. The thing is, you can't cover up sound very well, so we're right next door to a screaming baby in an RV parking lot. I mean, it's like, really? And it was kind of cold. I don't know how well their heating was over there and stuff, but you know, I mean, you don't have much room. It was a much smaller rig than our fifth wheel. And, you know, what about crawling and walking and all that stuff? I don't know what to say or I mean, is really, I mean, is is there a time where you might want to just say, you know what, let's hang this traveling up? I know it's being selfish in a way. It's like, well, we're doing the traveling because me and my husband or me and my partner like it. And so just because we're having a child or we have a child, it's more about me. Is it more about me or is it more about, I mean, I, as a parent, a lot of you know that your whole life starts to dwell around your own kids. And for 20 years, pretty much your whole life is developing your children to be adults. So the question is like, all right, if I'm going to be a parent, am I need to set up a scenario that's a win-win for my child, can grow up and develop as naturally as possible, give them an environment to be social, give them an environment to have something that they can call their own, give them a scenario of a place that they can play and feel like it's theirs. Is that a reasonable thing to think about as an RVer or a sailor cruising? I mean, there's like cruising couples out there with children that are actually kind of staying together and doing homeschooling and trying to use their sailing environment as a teaching platform. And that's good. I don't disagree with that at all. And I'm sure RVers are doing the same. But in general, I mean, and once again, some people say, well, that's your opinion, Rob. And no, not necessarily is my opinion. It's kind of like things I hear about or we hear in discussions. And so I'm not, I probably will definitely sway towards old school more. But I'm also, if you watched other shows, open-minded to the different environments. But at the same time, we're that's why we're a talk radio. It's like, and of course, anybody that's out there that is an RV or that has kids and stuff would like to be on our show. It'd be great. And we're talking about the pros and cons of it. And so, and discussions, and that's what our show is all about, the lifestyles. And so, could there even be laws in the future saying, you know, parents are required to do such and such for kids? Because there's great models out there, but there's also bad models of it. And the only person that suffers is the children themselves. You know, there's good parents and bad parents. And that's true whether you're an RVer or sailing or you own a home or renting a home or live in an apartment. And of course, income has a lot to do with that. Maybe when you're traveling and maybe you do have a good income, your income's more flexible to do other things that are great for the children. So environment, income, your status, social status, all those things are definitely a factor in this. And it's like everybody's just trying to do what's best for their children. But where do you draw the line? Or do you? I don't know. I really love to hear more comments about that. Some, especially as a newborn, what are some of the equipment, some of the procedures, some of the processes you're used to go through that, the motions as a traveling new parent with a brand new newborn or all that stuff. And of course, how do you handle health issues, especially if you're a cruiser and you're not even in our country and you're going from country to country, you know, vaccines, all these different things. How are they dealt with, and are they even dealt with at all? I don't know, but it's definitely an interesting subject, sometimes concerning subject, because not everybody's that good at homeschooling, and is the environment safe? Of course, if you're going to some places that your kids might go to that aren't exactly the most healthiest places or is the safest places. Kids have learned to grow up in the Northwest and they come down here to the South. You know, there's different critters and different things to deal with. And so, and of course, if you go east, there's other issues. You go out of this country, there's even more. And are you putting your kids at risk? I don't know. So anyway, I'd love to hear comments. I prefer that they were professional, good, bad, or indifferent. That's okay. But I'd love to hear this and maybe even take this discussion farther from comments. And of course, if anybody wants to be interviewed, the pros and cons of this. Once again, I know people attack me a lot of times saying, well, Rob, it's their business, not yours. But it's a RV lifestyle thing, and people that listen to our show, some are young adults, some are mid-range, some are older, and some are thinking about coming out here and becoming RVers. And so they need shows like this to help with their decision process. We shouldn't be just advocates for being RVers without showing the pros and cons of this lifestyle. Maybe RVing is good just as a part-time thing or a seasonal thing for people instead of full-time. I see so many channels that are just like, come on out here, live the freedom and all that stuff. And it's like, yeah, but you're not telling the whole story. And you see our videos and you see our shows and it's only a 5-minute, 10-minute show of your life. And you're not seeing the real thing out there. And at least with the radio show, we have to spend a little more time in detail what really is going on out here and paint a more better or more clear picture of what this full-time RV lifestyle is good for at all age levels, in all career levels, and also raising a family, things to consider. So, yeah. Love to hear your comments. Let's move on. Yeah, I caught the video here from a cheap RV living called the RTR, which is over at Courtside, which is a rendezvous. Whoops. That they do every year. I think it's called Rubber Tramp Rendezvous. And boy, that's a word I have a hard time with. Anyway, and I get a kick because the first thing he kind of says is, well, we're kind of rebels or we're outcasts. And, yeah, I guess that's true a little bit. But at the same time, it's, you know, I get quite a turnout. He's saying he claims that there's about 500 plus or minus that show up. And so he was addressing some of the questions and concerns of people that want to go to this rendezvous. And anyway, I'm not advertising it, nor am I denying it of a good or bad thing to go to. Courtside's a big place that a lot of RVers go to, including van dwellers. And it can be it is very friendly and a great community of people. And it is a fairly safe environment. And so I encourage you, if you ever get a chance to go to Courtside, if you haven't done it yet, it's quite the experience, no doubt. But yeah, the big RTR is coming up, and it's a little controversial whether it's, you know, considered a event that should be licensed and sponsored or insured. At the same time, Courtside's a great big place where people come together anyway. So, you know, you might want to keep that in mind that it's not insured and it's not a protected event, nor is it permitted, you know, have a permit to do so. But it's actually part of a big group of people that go to the Courtside anyway, so it's kind of a gray area. So it's up to you whether it's something you want to go to, but it sounds like fun if you're a person that's into van dwelling and stuff like that. At the same time, it's a bunch of rebels, I guess, that are breaking the norm of everyday society, good, bad, or indifferent. So yeah, it's coming up. One of the things he stressed in his video was the fact that there's folks that come here and they have generators and play music and things like that. And that kind of goes back to the module I was talking about with kids and stuff, is introvert kind of people. They like to be, on their own. They like their privacy and things like that. Well, there's a kind of controversy there. It's like, okay, so you want to be independent. You want to be not the norm and outside of the society. So then all of a sudden you say, well, let's do a RTR and let's bring all this together and be a community. Well, when you do that, then you suddenly are exposed to everybody's personal favorite things that they want to do, whether it's play music of different variations, drinking, being out late, talking, a group, laughing loud, a group around a fire, being noisy, generators, on and on. And so you do have to consider the fact that when you're bringing this group together, now you're a community and of people with different values and different beliefs and different things that they enjoy. Somebody, when it comes to music, somebody might just like to hear pan flute, and the next one wants to hear Aerosmith. Big difference. And so it can be quite irritating. Sounds like they kind of want to section out that kind of thing. Good luck on that. But do realize that if you're going to a community, the downside is each individual, which are used to being on their own, are going to be exposing their personal beliefs and personal things that they like to do as being a nomad or a van dweller. And that's true not only with this van, this RTR thing, but also if you're going to courtside, there's folks from different groups like escapees and escapers, different age groups, etc. So it's probably the most important thing to remember is to locate yourself to where you feel most comfortable. You don't have to be amongst the bigger groups. There's so much land there, so much space, that you can put yourself outside of that and then just come in and kind of give yourself visitation rights and expose yourself to what you can handle. So, yeah, interesting. Sounds like fun. At the same time, it's a desert, guys. The biggest kick I get out of his video is, most nomadic people are kind of introverts, as he words it. Want to be out of the crowds, want to be on their own. They want to be part of their own unique living. And so this whole video is all these things that they don't want you to do. And yet when you bring people together and they bring in all their personal things, whether it's their pets, their music, their generators, their drug use or things like that, it's pretty hard to avoid. And so it sounds like last year he must have lost it or things got out of control. And the guy, this Bob guy, is like, this is my event. Well, it's if it was a permitted event and stuff like that, and it was cordoned off and all that stuff, maybe so, but it's the BLM land, and it's people's freedom and people's personal way that they see life, and it's you're not going to control that. So be aware. It sounds like a fun thing to do, but you also have to have an open mind. And, you're going to have pets and you're going to have people that won't put their pets on the leash and dogs pooping and things like that and other people playing music and other people actually playing instruments and others being loud and some up all night talking and laughing. It's going to happen. It's just going to happen. And it actually happens in RV parks too. So that's part of the downside of RV lifestyle, you might say, is you think you're being private. You think you're getting your privacy, but our walls are thin and you need to know that. And you need to also be flexible. And this RTR thing, once again, could be a lot of fun, but at the same time, you're going to have to be open-minded and realize that everybody's going to be different and you need to either tolerate or get out. or move to a different spot and do it in a, you know, a way that's doesn't turn out to be a community fight. And sounds like last year something like that happened. So keep it in mind if you're going to this thing. In conclusion, watching this, the first thing that comes to mind is this guy must be a glutton for punishment because, you know, you always got that 1% that this causes issues or makes the event sour. And of course, when you start getting gatherings and stuff like that, you start falling under permits and issues and support and porta potties and stuff like that. So keep that all in mind. And I'm sure he would appreciate if you contributed in a positive way. But it also sounds like, by the way, that there's opportunities of working with the vendors there and actually get a job for a while and get probably a lot of it's under the table. But opportunity to do so. Not to mention, this is a great time of year for jobs at Amazon for the season. So keep that in mind. I don't know what to say about something like that other than it's, you know, law of attraction, you might say, like attracts like. It's going to be folks with like-minded people that are doing this independent living. And if that's something that you would enjoy or think you'd like to try, it might be the best place to go before you actually do it and actually get a true, at least get the true, everybody likes to talk up their stuff, but try to get the true picture of that lifestyle and see if it's something that you would like to do or might help you make your life a little more complete. I know it sounds funny, but you know, so many people living at the max, paycheck to paycheck, and the whole works, and or maybe they're on a fixed income. This is a solution to that. It's a way to live with a lower overhead, and so it's something to keep in mind. It's not something for me, but at the same time, I still try to keep my mind open enough to say I could see how it works for others. And keep that in mind. But just remember, when you bring a group of people together, you need to open your mind up and be open-minded to the fact that you're going to be around different personalities and different generations. The youngins, they have more of a it's all about me kind of lifestyle, as opposed to older folks that have kind of principles and morals of the past. And so when you bring those together, it can clash. And so the best thing you do is open your mind. So anyway, RTR, if you get a chance to make it, and you're interested in van life or independent living, sounds like that they got some good things, good seminars, good things to learn from others and also to be part of a community. Well, that kind of wraps up today's show. I wanted to remind you that we created a new podcast called Old Time Radio, and what it is basically old time radio, all kinds of things, Gunsmoke, Lone Ranger, the Inner Sanctum, on and on. We got all kinds of stuff coming out, and we're launching as many shows we can per day, and they're just great. And if you're a traveler, these shows are great. They tend to be around a half hour long each, but there are longer ones. We are launching War of the Worlds from Orson Welles on Monday, or tomorrow on Tuesday. Anyway, just great shows. And if you enjoy good stories, there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of them to choose from. We launched 10 Halloween shows here over the weekend. And it's just good stuff, fun to listen to. And it's great while you're traveling, great when you're, I suggest everybody in Courtside, listen to them. Good stuff. And you can pull them up on your podcast software on your cell phone. So anyway, keep in mind, goodoldradio.com. It's a podcast. So just put that into your phone. Type in good old radio and it'll show up and you can subscribe. And the shows will keep coming. There'll be hundreds of them. So yeah, no lack of material. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening this week. We survived taking care of the grandkid over the weekend. Lots of great things happening. RTR is coming up. And Courtside, of course, just the overall event at Courtside. Lots of fun. So anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Appreciate all the new followers. Appreciate the comments. We ask everybody to always be professional. We look forward to hearing from you. And most of all, be safe and buy yourself an RV. Have a great week, everyone. Bye now.